the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. This was recorded on Tuesday, September 17th, 2013. In the top of the news today, I have something here from Forbes. Why you can't find a job you love. There's no author on this article. It's from Yahoo News. September 13th. Do you ever wake up in the morning and ask yourself, am I in the right job, at the right company, on the right career path, doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? If so, you are not alone. After almost a decade of research, Tempe, Arizona-based purpose firm Ignite reports that more than 95% of workers in the U.S. are in the wrong roles. In another study by the company, 1,916 randomly selected employees between the ages of 23 and 28 were asked if they were interested in changing jobs, and 1,571 said yes. A recent Gallup study concluded that 71% of American workers are not engaged at their jobs. What does that say for the work they do? And Deloitte's Shift Index survey indicates that 80% of workers don't like their jobs. That's Deloitte and Touche. Considering that the average American works 8.8 hours every day, not many people are jumping out of bed these days. So why can't people find jobs they love? Oh, don't get me started. Hard work. Work hard, my boy, and you will be successful, was my grandfather's childhood advice to me. Even though he has been dead for over a decade, I can still hear his words ringing in my head. You may have heard the same from your grandparents or parents. However, they were all only partially right. While long hours may be required, successful people spend their time on the right things and in the right roles. When all these factors are aligned, most of these people can't even tell you how hard or long they work. For them, it is not a question of how many hours they put in during a week or work-life balance, but about doing what they love as much as possible. In Larry Smith's video, Why You Will Fail to Have a Great Career, he mocks the idea that hard work is a noble goal in itself. You want to work really, really, really hard? You know what? You will succeed. The world will give you the opportunity to work really, really, really hard. Bad marriages. When searching for a life partner, people often create fantasies around someone they are attracted to. This is all part of a human tendency to romanticize the world, something that usually ends badly when each sees the other for who they really are. A consultant I worked with for many years would say, when couples break up arguing that their partner does not understand them, the exact opposite is true. They understand them. They simply do not like them. And the same human tendency towards fantasy partners that helps explain the 50% divorce rate for first marriages in the U.S. also goes a long way towards telling us why American workers have an almost total lack of job happiness. When people are looking for jobs, they scan the web for attractive companies that grab their immediate attention. They look at a company's career page for openings, read the job descriptions posted, and then redraft their resume and pitch to fit the role they think they want. They recreate themselves to another's specifications. From the outside, we can easily see how this could end badly. The company is pitching its most attractive side, whether real or perceived, and the candidate is tailoring who he or she is to meet the needs of the company. 6 months down the road, both sides are unhappy. Some of the relationships limp along for years, producing minimal value. Others end abruptly, causing disruption and financial strain for both parties. More passion. Most people will tell you that the secret to career happiness and success is finding what you are passionate about and doing it. However, the founder and chief Ignite officer of Ignite, Tom McDermott, believes that this thinking is flawed. He asserts that passion is only part of the equation. For example, like many American Idol contestants, you may be passionate about music, but not a gifted singer, or a talented teacher, but not teaching something you are passionate about. Tom believes the real game changer is our natural childlike curiosity, without which a person will not find true alignment, happiness, and success in life. He argues that most people never go far enough in exploring and questioning what they are profoundly curious about. For Tom, finding a job that you love requires doing something you are passionately curious about and born to do. To illustrate this principle, you may be passionate about sprinting, but not have the natural ability to be a gold medalist in the 100-meter dash. You may really be curious about how humans can move faster and be better placed as a sports science researcher, coach, or perhaps an aerodynamics engineer. Without asking the right questions, your passion may drive you to sprint in the wrong direction in life. Investing in a running coach, the best shoes, and having hopes to achieve a world record when your natural strengths and curiosity don't align with that goal/passion. According to Tom, you need to ask why you enjoy sprinting. What about it? If your talent, strengths, passion, and curiosity are in sync, you may find yourself setting records in the 100 meter. Or inventing the Hyperloop train that carries people at speeds up to 800 miles an hour. I don't know if that's a good illustration or not for most people. A child fascinated with glasses may not be destined to be the next great eyewear designer, but may be curious about how people can see further. She could become the inventor of the world's most powerful telescope, discovering unknown planets without asking the right questions. A life can easily be wasted on a wrong path and deprive the world of important advances and innovations, or a world record in the 100-meter dash. Money. Money hasn't been around that long in the scheme of human existence, but it has quickly become the ultimate distraction. In fact, the first question most job seekers ask is, how much does the position pay? The answer usually determines if things move forward. When I first met Tom McDermott of Ignite, he asked me, if money were not an issue, what would you do in life? This is a great theoretical question to probe your desires. On the other hand, most of us can't eliminate money from the question of where and why we work. Dr. Paula Caliguri provides one answer to this quandary in her book, Get a Life, Not a Job. Do what you love and let your talents work for you. Caliguri suggests that you actively seek multiple streams of income to achieve the freedom to follow what you love and not be financially beholden to a job you don't want. This can be in the form of a home-based business, speaking on your topics of expertise, teaching others about something you love, or perhaps investing. Yeah, like we could all do that. The right match. In 2000, the online dating site eHarmony was launched with the tagline, Beat the Odds, Bet on Love with eHarmony. It pioneered a new scientific approach to matching couples that relied on pre-assessments to gain a deep understanding of its clients and compatibilities before any pictures or profiles were shared. It was a concept that changed relationship matching forever and improved chances of successful dating, marriage, and fulfilled long-term partnerships. In such a process, there is no gaming the system, no imagined personas, because neither side knows of the other until a personal match is made. The same concept will ultimately revolutionize job search and placement for the next generation workforce that is looking for purpose over work. Arizona-based Y Scouts is the only recruitment firm I am aware of that operates a model similar to eHarmony's, but they currently only handle executive searches. However, the dating site is contemplating offering a non-executive job search option soon. Until then, job seekers will need to be proactive and create their own process. To do this, you should have the answers to the following questions prior to starting your search and stay true to them when you are looking to apply to jobs. If you are working with a recruitment agency, share your questions and answers with them before they introduce roles to you. Ask them to only connect you to organizations and jobs that are a clear fit. What job would I be excited to share with others? What would an organization do that would make me excited to share with others? What gets me out of bed in the morning? If money weren't an issue, what would I do? What do I do best? What am I most passionate about? What am I most curious about? What have I most enjoyed doing throughout my life, and why? If you are having problems answering any of these questions, below are a few resources to help. Dr. Paula Caliguri's book, Get a Life, Not a Job, Do What You Love and Let Your Talents Work for You, has excellent personal discovery exercises throughout. Clifton StrengthsFinder tool will assist you in discovering what you do best. Ignite's online course will help you discover your passionate curiosity and bring your purpose to light. The company also offers private purpose coaching. Why Scout's website is a good resource to help you discover your why and also has a free purpose-based talent community that anyone can join. And now it's time for the Harper's Weekly Review, dated September 17th, 2013. At the Washington Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., 34-year-old Aaron Alexis killed at least 12 people, I think it's 13 now, before being killed by a police officer. Alexis was carrying an AR-15 assault rifle, a shotgun, and a semi-automatic pistol. It's hard, said a law enforcement official, to carry that many guns. Navy Commander Tim Gyrus reported hiding in an alley with another man who was shot in the head while the two conversed. I was just lucky, said Gyrus. The other person was shorter than me. United Nations weapons inspectors submitted a report confirming that they had found clear and convincing evidence that the nerve gas sarin was deployed on August 21st near Damascus and attacked Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called the worst use of weapons of mass destruction in the 21st century. The Syrian government formally acceded to the International Convention Banning Chemical Weapons, and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov secured an agreement under which Syria's arsenal of chemical weapons will be inventoried, seized, and removed or destroyed by mid-2014. In part because of the credible threat of U.S. military force, we now have the opportunity to achieve our objectives through diplomacy, said President Barack Obama. We agreed to put Syria's chemical weapons under international supervision in response to Russia's request and not because of American threats, said Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Kerry insisted he purposefully made the statement, which was widely reported as a gaffe, that Assad could voluntarily give up his country's chemical weapons in order to avoid airstrikes. I did indeed say it wasn't possible, and he won't do it, even as I hoped it would be possible and wanted him to do it, Kerry said. The language of diplomacy sometimes requires that you put things to the test. News about the singer Miley Cyrus's performance at the MTV Video Music Awards was found to have been 12 times more widely read in the United States than news about Syria. And the FCC was reported to have received 150 complaints about Cyrus. Where asked one complainant, has censorship gone? I was subjugated, wrote another, to 4 minutes of Miley Cyrus. It's pretty bad. On the anniversary of the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, the fire department at Boston's Logan International Airport held a training exercise that included roaring flames and heavy smoke on the airfield. In Colorado, where severe flooding has killed 7 people, left more than 1,000 stranded, and damaged nearly 19,000 homes, special education teacher Brian Schultz said he regretted evacuating his house. I could have lasted at least a year, he said, adding that he probably had enough beer to cover the entire time. A feral pig in the Australian town of Port Hedland drank 18 beers and passed out under a tree. The Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents announced plans to distribute cupboard latches in order to prevent Scottish children from eating laundry detergent gel capsules, and police in York, Pennsylvania, determined that the crash of a minivan driven by Dimples the Clown was not caused by oversized footwear. American balloonist Jonathan Trapp, who was trying to cross the Atlantic Ocean borne by hundreds of helium-filled balloons, landed prematurely in Newfoundland. This doesn't look like France, he said. NASA confirmed that its Voyager 1 probe had entered interstellar space, that it would send romaine lettuce plants to the International Space Station, and that a photograph of a frog being launched alongside its LADEE spacecraft at the Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia was authentic. The condition of the frog, the agency said in a statement, is uncertain. A man suspected of masturbating outside a Glendale, California, Seventh-day Adventist church during services was arrested after being found asleep with his hand in his pants. Eviction proceedings continued in London against God's own junkyard. Thousands of fish suffocated following a molasses spill in Honolulu Harbor, and Titan Salvage began righting the shipwrecked Costa Concordia cruise liner in Giglio, Italy, the largest parbuckling attempt in history. Israeli police arrested a self-proclaimed sorcerer from the Golan Heights for manipulating a woman into having sex with him as part of magical treatments to help her recover from a breakup. And Dayton, Ohio performer Nathaniel J. Smith, who also goes by Brave Nate, Hustle Simmons, and Flex Luther, was arrested for failing to appear at a child support hearing for one of the 27 children he has fathered by 17 women. In Milton, West Virginia, 2 men dressed as Batman and Captain America rescued a cat from a house fire, after which Batman administered mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The Ashikawa prison in Japan introduced Katakuri-chan, a 6-foot-inch humanoid mascot dressed as a prison warden with an enormous purple flower for hair. A 58-year-old Uruguayan man who disappeared 4 months ago in the remote Andes was found to have survived the winter by eating raisins and rats, and the Wall Street Journal praised the squirrel with cashews and spring rolls, and the Caribbean jerk squirrel with fried plantains served at the second annual World Champion Squirrel Cook-Off in Bentonville, Arkansas. We've been trying, said a publicist for the Bentonville Convention and Visitors Bureau, to polish our image. This article written by Sarah Bresler. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. Please be kind to each other in the coming week and stay out of the news.